Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, and welcome to this Monday edition of Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and your very grateful host. Happy to be here another week with you, and still shining with gratitude from last week. I told you I'd give you a report this week, but it won't be today. We're still adding up the numbers and finishing up the paperwork and all that, so we'll know how the pledge drive went. But you deserve an update, and we'll give it to you tomorrow. But thanks so much to everybody who has helped us so generously to be funded for the summer. You're not going to want to miss either hour today. Trent Horn will be here to talk about why we're Catholic in the second hour. This hour, we talked to bodybuilder and theologian Jared Zimmerer about being healthy in body and soul. What's the role of healthy living in a Christian life? Does Jesus care about your weight, your waist size, your level of fitness? 888-318-7884, the number. If you have questions about the Christian view of the body and our responsibilities and how we can meet our responsibilities for caring for our own bodies, maybe you need some spiritual help to help you meet physical goals. 888-318-7884. Again, 888-31-TRUTH. If you have questions for Jared, Jared Zimmerer is the founder of Strength for the Kingdom, a ministry promoting men's growth in virtue, knowledge of the Catholic faith, and the understanding of authentic masculinity through physical endeavors. He lives in Roanoke, Texas, where I am told it is hot today, and he holds a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. He's working on his master's degree in theology at Holy Apostles College and Seminarian. He works as the director of adult catechesis and evangelization at St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church in Grapevine, Texas, and he spent a year working with the Theology of the Body evangelization team in Irving, Texas. He's been a competitive all-natural, and that's important, bodybuilder for 15 years. Jared Zimmerer, thanks for joining us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Yeah, great to be with you. And a quick update on my bio. I actually am now the Director of Outreach and Mission at Word on Fire there for Bishop Robert Barron. I started with them back in January. So I just wanted to give a shout out to all my team there.
Darn it. I knew that. And I have to say
it's all
it,
good
because we just talked recently and I knew. Oh, well, yes, Word on Fire. So that's you're working with Bishop Barron.
I am. Yeah, very blessed. I've been volunteering with them and doing jobs every now and then, but I went full time with them back in January. It's been great.
Well, so I don't want to get into personal stuff, but do you ever give Bishop Barron health tips, fitness tips, lifting?
Actually, yes.
Tips?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah, he invited me over to Mundelein Seminary back when he was rector there, actually two or three times, and had me give advice to the seminarians there. And I spoke with him about diet and different things like that. And he has a great team out in California that they're all really into fitness as well. So we definitely keep on top.
888-318-7884 is our number if you have questions on fitness and faith for Jared. And how... I suppose there's something about the Christian faith. Well, I know that there's a large part of the themes of Christian faith is occupied with self-denial and the donation of the self and self-giving. How is that related to self-care? Because what about the person who says, you know, that's not important. What's important is that I'm doing for others.
Yeah, and I would say that self-care is the potential by which you are able to care for others the best, right? So I'm a father. My wife is actually expecting our sixth child.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And so we're very blessed. But, you know, to be able to have the energy just to chase around six kids and do everything else that comes with normal life, it takes a certain level of fitness and health in order to do that. You know, you can really drive up the energy. The more healthy you are, the better you eat, the more you exercise, your energy levels just start to boom. And that's one of the first things people notice when they get in the gym. And so I would say that self-care really builds your ability to care for others. It's kind of like the old idea of when you're on an airplane, when the oxygen mask, you have to put it on yourself first, or else you can't help the child next to you. Right.
Right. Right.
And the reason being is because if you're not getting oxygen, you can't think straight. And so you've got to be able to do that in order to help the child the most.
Is it a kind of poor theology if we're saying, oh, no, don't take, you know, all this exercise and all this stuff? That's not for Christians. That's for people who are just kind of self-involved, really. And is that a poor theology?
Well, I do think we have to be careful of any kind of dualism, which can tend to sneak into people's theology. I mean, since the beginning, that's been a problem of separating the body and the soul. But we live in a very different time than what's happened in the past. In the past, people have had a lot of physical jobs. They were farmers, ranchers, manufacturers. They were constantly physically moving around. But in large part in the West, we now occupy desks most of the day. And so I would say that what we need to do then is supplement. Because we're not so physically active during the day, we've got to be able to supplement that with physical exercise. And not only does it help you with your fitness and health, but it helps you with your mental health. It helps you with being joyful. It uh-huh. helps you with your spiritual health. I mean, it's about seeing the body and soul united, and that's what the Catechism preaches. That's what the Church has always preached.
There's a really striking article right now in the Atlantic Monthly magazine. It's on the Atlantic's website. People should go read it. It's about what screens are doing to us and what they're doing to younger generations. So when you talk about physical activity as part of mental health, there's a strong indication that large amounts of screen time are actually bad, not just physically for us, but they attack our mental health, that you feel worse the more time you spend on screens. Is that what you're talking about getting out and moving?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I mean, I can tell you just personally, when I spend too much time in front of a screen, I start to just feel kind of bogged down, almost anxiety ridden.
Right.
You know, I start to think
right.
of like the stress just takes over. And I tell a lot of people that I speak with that what we've got to do is we are so focused with what's going on in here, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but all day we are fed information
right.
in a rate that's faster than it's ever been in history. So what we've got to do then is go back from here to here. We've got to supplement something to get back into the body. That's what theology of the body taught a lot, is about getting back into knowing that you are a body. And I think that strength training, fitness, health, all of that stuff helps you do that. It helps kind of balance out the mind and the body. You know, the Greeks used to say sound mind in a sound body. And today we are so focused on the mental side of everything, knowing all the information that's available to us, that we've got to do something in order to build that sound body to be able to even handle all the information that we're given throughout the day.
And what do you say to the person, and this I would encourage people to call and talk with Jared about, because I have heard him speak on this before, and he can be very, very helpful. 888-318-7884 is the number. But the person who says, my life's too crazy, Jared. How am I going to get an hour, you know, I don't know. I don't know what you recommend, 5 times a week or a half hour, you know, 7 times a week, or how am I going to get that?
You know, one of the beauties of the growth of this fitness boom is that there are literally unbelievable numbers of different programs, different styles, different things to do that speak to an individual. And so I always say, find something that speaks to you personally and go after it. You know, I'm not going to tell somebody who would prefer to do, cycling to start doing powerlifting. It's just not going to work. They're going to get in there. They're going to get bored. It only lasts a little while, and then they're going to get burnt out. So what I would say is find that thing that's going to work well for the amount of time that you have. So there's actually a lot of research into the amount of time that it takes in order to get a good benefit from physical exercise. You'd be surprised how much you can do in 20 minutes, 2 or 3 times a day. I'm sorry, not a day, a week. I mean, even down to osteoporosis problems, mm-hmm. people have been able to do 20 minutes 2 or 3 times a week and have been able to reverse some of the problems of osteoporosis. So there's so many different programs, ideas, whatever you need, it's out there. You just have to do a little research and find it. But something real simple, too, that I'm a big fan of is post-meal walking. If you just went for, say, a 5 to 20 minute walk after you ate a meal, that alone is going to do a lot for your metabolism. I think it's a great time to pray a chaplet or a rosary or something like that. It boosts the metabolism. It increases your energy. You know, a lot of people have a tendency to go right to caffeine. I would say, no, go outside, get some fresh air in your lungs, get the blood moving right after a meal. And then maybe that 2 o'clock needed nap time may not happen because you've now got the energy from a natural source.
Faith and fitness, health in body and soul is our topic today. 888-318-7884. Our number, the lines are lighting up, so get your call in. 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more Jared Zimmer right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Robert Baer, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Why does God sometimes reveal himself privately? How does the Church discern reports of supernatural miracles and apparitions? What are some of the most famous Marian apparitions in history? And what do they teach us? In 20 Answers, Apparitions and Revelations, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, explaining the scriptural and theological basis for private revelation, unpacking the Church's approach to evaluating and promoting miraculous phenomena, and sharing inspiring accounts of approved apparitions and revelations from the distant past to the present age. 20 Answers, Apparitions and Revelations is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 14:21, when Jesus saw the size of the crowd that had followed him, his heart was moved with compassion, and he cured the sick. As evening drew near, his disciples wanted him to dismiss the people to nearby villages to purchase food. But Jesus took a few loaves and fishes and miraculously multiplied them so that there was enough for all. What is of most significance here is that the compassion shown was not merely human, but divine. It tells us that such compassion, therefore, is not limited by time and space. It is just as available to us now as it was to those people. We tend to have such difficulty accepting that God does really love us that much, and the responsibility that comes with this. Because if God loves us that much, responding to that love must matter more to us than anything we can possibly think of. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Cy Kellett, your host here at Catholic Answers Live. Jared Zimmerer, our guest this hour. And Jared is a competitive bodybuilder, a student of the theology of the body, and just an all-around very helpful guy. And we've got lots of calls for Jared on being healthy in soul and body. Jared, you ready to take some calls?
I'm ready. Let's do
it. All right. Were you just like doing push-ups and stuff during the break?
I was.
Is that what you do? Like, there's a break. I better break out some weights.
I better do some squats. Yeah.
Really? Okay. All right. I'm glad to hear it. You are committed. George, in Houston, Texas, you're down in the same state with Jared, listening on XM Satellite Radio. George, your question for Jared Zimmerer.
Hi. Was it necessary for Jesus to be physically fit in order to have, been sacrificed, for us, that just the idea of Jesus being, for instance, obese, just doesn't seem to fit for some reason. I don't know if there's any theological backing to that or, just if you could expound on that. Thanks.
Yeah, good question. And I would definitely say that as far as the word necessity, Thomas Aquinas would have touched on it if it was. but I would say that in order for him to preach his message well, he did have to have a certain level of fitness. I don't think it was by accident that he was raised by a carpenter. He was raised doing physical labor, for 30 years, and that sent him right into the mission. And I honestly think that that geared him to be able to embrace discomfort and be okay with it. It wasn't a necessity for him to be fit. He easily could have saved us by any other body shape or whatnot. But I do think that, as I mentioned before, it goes back to the self-care helps you care for others even more, right? The ability to embrace difficulty for the good of the other. And that's what love is, right? You're looking out for the good of the other. And in order to do that, a lot of times we have to embrace difficulty. And with that comes a certain level of health and fitness in order to do it.
Something you said, Jared, there. Thank you, George, very much for that call. It's fascinating. But this idea that are you of the view, because it sounded like this is what you were saying, that that doing physical things, hard work, for example, or working out or making physical commitments actually prepares us to be better at praying because we've endured?
I would say so. I think that, you know, whenever you've told yourself in a tangible, physical way that you're going to either endure suffering of some kind, so whether that's going for a long run or a walk or saying no to the after dinner cookies, some, you know, small little things, it allows you to be more disciplined in your spiritual life and in your moral life, because you can tell yourself no in a difficult situation like turning away an after dinner dessert. And you can tell yourself yes in a situation like saying, no, I'm going to throw 5 more pounds on my bench today and I'm going to throw it up, you know? And so it gears together very well. And it goes back to this idea that we are not a dualistic religion. Right? What we do with the body affects the soul, and what we do with the soul affects the body. So I firmly believe that when we build the body in health and fitness and strength, it can only make us better in mind and soul too.
Doug in Trenton, New Jersey, listening to EWTN on 1250 AM. Doug, you're on with Jared Zimmerer. Your question.
Hey, guys. Body, mind, and spirit.
Amen.
Hello.
Hi, Doug.
Hey, I was thinking, I was right up my alley with the faith and the working out. The body, mind, and spirit all works together.
Doug, do you have a question for Jared?
Yeah. I was talking and listening to you talking about the good walk and the body, mind, and spirit, how it works with faith. And I was down at Augusta, and at Gold's, there was a woman that took some photographs of me and put it on my YouTube.
Jared. I hate to do this. I don't usually like to push that button on people. But I forgot that Doug from New Jersey calls, and then all he tries to do is get his website on the air.
Ah, okay.
So let's instead of that, what about your website? Do you have a website?
Jared, so actually right now I'm refurbishing my website. So if people want to connect with me, they can do so through Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. But as of right now, it's down. And so if people want to look me up, there's still plenty of information online. But my personal website is down for some refurbishment.
I'm sure there are Dougs in New Jersey who don't do that. But we're probably going to stop taking calls from Dougs in New Jersey, because that keeps happening. I do find it kind of funny, though. Michael in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio, 1430 AM. You got a question for Jared, or you just want to give out a website?
No, I have a question.
Yay!
Good thing Jimmy Akin wasn't on the line. He was pretty angry last time Doug called.
Oh, you heard that. Yeah. All right.
This is my first call, but I love Catholic Answers, and I was thinking that there's a similar challenge caring for your spiritual health and your physical health and making the time for it. And I was wondering if your guests had any tips or insights about whether it's a good idea to combine these activities, to pray while exercising or use that time for other spiritual endeavors, or is it maybe better to concentrate all your efforts into one or the other?
Yeah, great question. And I would say that absolutely, it's a good thing to pray while you exercise. But I would be wary of allowing that to replace the silent kind of contemplation style of prayer that's more conversational with God. You need to have that silence with God, because that is really ultimately where the relationship's going to flourish. But I would say that it is a fantastic practice to try to pray during your exercise. As I mentioned before, going for, say, an after-dinner walk and praying the rosary is phenomenal. That's a great, great way to exercise and pray at the same time. I'm more of a power lifter or bodybuilder, and so what I try to do is just before each lift, offer it up, right? Bring Christ into that workout and allow him to offer whatever grace he deems that he wants to give to me. And just to have that conversation, even in those moments, is absolutely wonderful. And I would definitely just be aware, though, that we do still need to have that separate time outside of the gym or outside of exercise where we're really trying to gear our souls towards Christ.
Michael, what do you think?
Very helpful. And I like to listen to Catholic Answers podcast sometimes while doing.
Perfect.
I love having Michael call. Michael, you got to call more often. He advertised our podcast in the middle of a question. It's Catholic Answers Focus, by the way. You just go to catholic.com/focus. And we have one with you, Jared. We did a nice conversation with you over there at Focus, so you can listen to that one. I want to throw two things out at you, Jared, because I have two spiritual experiences when exercising. One usually happens about one third of the way. And for me, I usually swim. And about one third of the way through my planned swimming, I am utterly miserable. I just feel like I don't want to do this. I hate this. And pushing through it actually makes a difference in the habit, a mental habit of, and I do find that helpful in prayer. The other thing, though, and I think swimming is better than anything else in the world. I don't mean to be prejudiced about this, but
No, that's good.
I feel a certain sense of gratitude comes over, like just the feeling of being in the water, of moving, of having the time to do that. All that is a sense of a gratitude. So I don't know about Michael was talking about praying while swimming, and I suppose just that feeling of gratitude.
Absolutely, and I think that you are experiencing the gift of your body. Uh-huh. Right, in a tangible way, you're experiencing what God has allowed you to do with your body, and it's absolutely amazing. I mean, I don't think any of us could have thought up what we can do with our bodies. It's just absolutely beautiful. Of course, I'm a lifter, so I see a guy, deadlift 600 pounds. It's unbelievable to just see the hard work and dedication it takes to get there, or the ability to just swim lap after lap after lap. I mean, that's just an absolutely beautiful thing, and I think that the more we take in both of those moments that you talked about, one where we kind of hit this wall and we're like, wow, this is really hard. Wow, I'm really hurting right now. I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, right? How easily does that spill over into our spiritual lives? I mean, our daily prayer life sometimes is a battle in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Trying to focus, you realize you're kind of hitting these brick walls and you say, no, I got to put in the time. I got to put in the effort. I got to be there, And I think that doing that while swimming is helping you prepare for that time in the spiritual life as well. And then afterwards, of course, is the gratitude. One thing I tell a lot of lifter guys is, after a workout, if you've done a good workout, you should be so kind of drained that you're just completely just kind of surrendering, and you say, God, thank you so much for this opportunity. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it prepares us very well for a good spiritual life.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Lots and lots of calls. Michael, thank you very much for that call. I'm going to go to Anonymous in Indiana. And Anonymous, we may get through an answer to your question, or we may have to answer part and then go past the break. But your question, Anonymous, for Jared.
I was watching a Christian station on several years ago on TV, and they were concerned about doing yoga because it started in India through a religion of spiritual deities. And my opinion, this is just my opinion, that if you're not getting into the deity thing, it's good exercise. And I just kind of wanted your comments on that.
Yeah, and yoga is kind of one of those hot button issues that people tend to stand on one side or the other when it comes to it. And to be honest with you, I have seen it done well in this Christian sense, and I have seen it done really bad, where it has led Christians away from the church. And so I kind of say it's somewhat subjective. It depends on the school that's teaching it. It depends on the lineage that teaches it. Oftentimes, you know, some yoga studios just opened up and it happened to be a person that was very passionate about it. They got their license and opened it up. They didn't have anything to do with the spirituality, but they're able to give the exercise. They're able to give the stretching, all of that, and it's good. But then I've seen others that hold on to that lineage of spirituality and they infuse it in some way, shape, or form. And that can be somewhat problematic. So I would say it's just sort of depends on the situation.
Anonymous, thank you very much for that call. Jared Zimmerer is our guest. Jared's a bodybuilder. Jared is a theologian, and he works with Word on Fire with Bishop Robert Barron, and he even gives health tips to Bishop Robert Barron. Yeah, keep him healthy. We really love him.
Amen.
Keep that man healthy. And we'll help you with any questions you have, maybe motivational questions, questions about exercise, questions about this whole body-spirit thing. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
When you deal with God, get out of the way.
The incomparable Mother Angelica. She broke the mold of Catholic teaching with her one-of-a-kind perspective. From her spunky spiritual growth talks to her eye-opening scripture study. A nun like none other.
I intend to scare hell out of you.
She was the one, the only, the non-forgettable Mother Angelica. Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television.
As legend tells it, 500 years ago, a disaffected Augustinian priest nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. The evidence that he actually did this is pretty thin, but Martin Luther's objections to Catholic teachings concerning purgatory and indulgences set off a series of countless ruptures that the Church suffers to this very day. The faithful Catholic wants to be God's instrument in healing these ruptures, but may not know where to begin. Join us this September 28th to 30th as we tackle the topic at Catholic Answers 4th National Apologetics Conference, the Reunion of All Christians, a lively and inspiring conference designed to ignite and inform your faith. We've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. This is an event you don't want to miss. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to leave you wanting more. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Don't call if you just want to give us the address to your YouTube site. But if you got a question for Jared Zimmerer, we're happy to take it. Hey, our summer series is continuing tomorrow night. That's August 8th, live here in San Diego. Tim Staples will be speaking about the communion of saints in the lives of Christians. It'll be over at Ascension Catholic Church at 7 p.m., where, Jared, I apologize for this, but they always have cookies when they have their talks. You don't have to eat them, though.
That's fair. It's just you. It's all good.
And if you can't go, we're live streaming it. So you just go to our Facebook page and look up the live stream there, and you can get a live stream of Tim Staples giving that talk, The Communion of Saints in the Lives of Christians. The summer series continues. This hour, Jared Zimmerer, a weightlifter, bodybuilder, and theologian, is here to help with all our questions about body and soul and fitness and food. And we go now to Anonymous in Illinois, listening on WSFI. Anonymous, your question for Jared.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. So I believe you studied kinesiology and, you know, the relationship with many red meats, and I just want to know what is your take on certain unclean foods, which like specified in Bible also not to eat, and which causes a lot of future problems in terms of cancer, heart problems, and a lot of research is done into it. And besides that, it's also kind of spiritually harmful. So what is your belief on that, on this topic?
Well, as far as the idea of unclean foods, that was the old covenant. And so in terms of the inability for Christians to do that, that was more of a Judaic law type of thing. But I think I understand your question as far as some of those unclean foods that were mentioned in the scriptures have now actually been shown to have some problematic enzymes in them and different things like that. Well, I think my take is that all of this is about balance. We don't want to take this to extremes on either side. Now I've met people that, they pick a certain diet that stays away from those, whether it be vegan, vegetarian, paleo, different things like that. And it works really, really well for them. But I've tried some of that stuff in the past and just shriveled. It didn't work for me. I had low energy. It didn't work for me. And so I do think that it's a subjective thing. Now, if people want to, say, go to a physician and figure out, you know, maybe they've got some kind of problem with certain meats or maybe gluten or something like that, by all means, absolutely, because you should kind of see this as a way to build yourself up. But I would be weary of staying away from anything just because it was considered unclean in the Old Testament. As Christians, we are now perfectly allowed to eat bacon and things like that, and praise God for that. You know, some of those things also can be good for you. So, like, for example, red meat is also helps with testosterone production, which is a good thing for men. Egg yolks, which have very high cholesterol, same thing. It helps balance hormones. So I would say that it's all about balance with all of this. If you want to go to a physician because you're just constantly not feeling very good, maybe you do have a allergen or some kind that you're eating and you don't know, then by all means, go to a physician. Figure out what that might be. But we have to be balanced in all of it.
Anonymous, do you ask this from a religious perspective as a person who avoids certain foods because of God's direction to avoid those foods?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I understand your answer on balance. So very well understand that. But as far as in terms of the spiritual aspect, I mean, if you go and look into some countries, all over the world, in some very undeveloped areas, you see that a lot of these pigs and all that roaming about very dirty conditions, extremely dirty conditions. So, I mean, to say that Jesus could make Lord Jesus could make the these animals clean would be a totally a situation which is not true. I mean, if he ever made such animals clean, it's totally untrue. Because I mean, I've seen pigs in totally extremely bad condition. So that's my point.
Anonymous, yeah, thank you. The thing is, it's Jared. It just comes down to simply anonymous. Thank you very much for the call. Christians don't have the same view of food that Muslims have, and so the Christian idea is that what comes out of you is what makes you unclean, because that's what Christ said. It's not what goes into you unclean. But that's not to say that everything we eat is potentially healthy. Lots of stuff is bad for you.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, an excess of anything, right? Excess of wine, excess of beer. These are really good things. They taste amazing and they're good for us as far as good spirits. But if you go to excess, then it becomes a problem. Then what you are taking in is causing a problem physically for your body and more than likely spiritually as well. And then to his point, I mean, absolutely, in terms of some places in the world, third world countries, different things like that, there might be some conditions where it would be a bad thing to take in some of these things. But that would be more on a cleanliness aspect and not necessarily, I think, a spiritual aspect.
Thank you very much again, Anonymous, for that call. We go now to Richard in Wisconsin, listening on WSFI 88.5. Richard, your question for Jared.
All right. Two people from the same station in a row. That sounds awesome. So this is my first time calling, and I felt very identified with the topic because I myself, I'm a good testimony about why you need to take health seriously. I just lost 75 pounds 4 years ago. I almost died.
Wow. Congrats. That's awesome. Episode. Not on the fact that you almost died, but the fact that you lost 75 pounds. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. And currently I've been a year and a half doing CrossFit. Before that, I started running, but I got bored out of that. So I tried to look for a system that was very dynamic that I could do on a short period of time with a newborn. So I discovered CrossFit, and I mean, I've been there ever since. My question goes related to how can I better explain to teenagers the importance of staying healthy on the basis of faith? When I talk to youth groups, especially in the Hispanic community I belong to, sometimes there's this concept where chunky is better, and that's the way I grew up, and I was overweight all my life. What's the better resource, Jared, that I'm able to use in order to counteract that type of thought or that type of behavior, cultural behavior?
Yeah, I think that in terms of a resource, I mean, I hate to toot my own horn here, but I wrote a book called The 10 Commandments of Lifting Weights, and it actually has 10 basic rules to be able to keep yourself balanced physically and spiritually. And I wrote it specifically for people that don't typically pick up books. It's only about 90 pages long, and it's very quick, short chapters, but it basically integrates the spirituality of Catholicism and the physical realm of fitness and health and all of that. One thing that I would recommend in terms of speaking to young people about it is that, you know, that crowd is very keen on social justice. That's a very serious word for them. And I would say that to be healthy makes you a better virtue-driven person towards social justice. Right. We know there's injustice going on in the world, and we know we need to take a part in stopping that injustice. And I would say that being a healthy person helps you do that even better. It's kind of like, you know, with a lot of young men, I talk about the virtue ethics of the Stoics and a virtue ethics that Thomas Aquinas uses, sort of a grace builds on nature type of thing. Basically saying that, you know, you know, in the core of your being that you want to be a good person, that you want to be a good daughter, a good son, a good leader, good student, all of that, right? Maybe some of them struggle with it. And we can say that health is going to help you achieve all of those things. Just from my own personal testimony, I can tell you that, you know, when I was in high school, really before I got bit by the iron bug, if you will, I just kind of went to school because it was just the thing that I had to do. But once weightlifting came around, the other areas of my life started to clean up. I started to be more respectful to my parents. My grades got better. I started to, you know, be more of a leader in all of the social groups that I was in. And so it became this sort of central thing that helped spill out into the other ways. And I say that was kind of somewhat a virtue ethic. I started to grow in virtue because I used my physicality to grow in it, and then it easily spilled over into my school life, into my family life, into my social life, all of that.
Richard?
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Richard. We appreciate that call. 888-318-7884, our number. We are talking with Jared Zimmerer about fitness and faith, about body and soul. It's so interesting what you say, because what you said is very Catholic to me, Jared, that this Catholic idea that we, as you said before, I guess, it's not a dualism. If you're taking better care of your body, there's a way in which your soul too is uplifted by that. That's what's good for the body is, it's not necessarily to say what's good for the body is always good for the soul, because right. you could become obsessed with your body. And but as long as you have a balance there, your soul does become healthier as you take care of yourself.
You're absolutely right. And I can tell you numerous stories of people similar to him that lost 100 pounds. I even have a priest friend of mine that lost 274 pounds, and his priesthood has changed tremendously. Mm-hmm. He will testify to the fact that his spiritual life is better. His ability to be a priest is better. He has more energy. He wants to go out and meet people. He wants to evangelize. And he directly ties that to the fact that he feels better. He has more energy. He feels better about himself. He has a drive and a tenacity of life. And so in a certain sense, as Thomas Aquinas and the church teaches, grace builds on nature. And I believe that if the nature is gearing towards virtue, grace will simply come in and really boom that and make it something beautiful.
Jared Zimmerer is our guest. Healthy in body and soul is our topic. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. We'll be right back with more calls right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Call us now with your question on Catholic Answers Live.
It's impossible to escape the fact that the Catholic faith is under attack today. All you have to do is glance at the news, look at the internet, or talk with people you know, and you'll encounter challenge after challenge. At Catholic Answers, one question we get all the time is how our experts went about learning the craft of apologetics. That's a question Catholic Answers founder Carl Keating has just given his answer to. It's found in his brand new book on the works that made him an apologist. Drawing on a lifetime of experience, Carl reveals the books that helped him learn to defend the Catholic faith. He also recounts numerous anecdotes, real-life situations he has encountered in his long career that illustrate the apologetic lessons he learned. Catholic Answers needs your help to do all of its apostolic work, including producing fascinating and informative books like this. To make your donation and get free copies of Carl Keating's new books, visit Catholic.com and click the Carl Keating banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Carl Keating banner at Catholic.com, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Homeschool Connections has recently formed a partnership featuring a dual enrollment program with Franciscan University of Steubenville. Our website is homeschoolconnections.com. We are a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884, the number. Jared Zimmer are here to talk with us about being healthy in both body and soul. And Jared, do you think Jesus would allow us to eat Hot Pockets if he were if he were here today, or is the Hot Pocket just going too far? I say that because
I don't know. He might have a couple of jokes to throw out there for people to be eating Hot Pockets while he's preaching.
Yeah. Well, Jesus, if we're, probably he would get them from Jim Gaffigan, because Jim Gaffigan, well-known Catholic comedian about on Hot Pockets. Colette, I have to say, Colette in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio, is about to ask the very question I wanted to ask. Colette, what's your question there for Jared?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Yes. I'm on this vicious cycle. I'm not athletic, and yes, I feel better when I exercise, but the food demons just keep winning, and so it makes me want to eat more, and then I stop exercising, and then I eat more, and then I don't even care anymore. So I just want to know, how do I stay motivated?
Colette is my spirit partner in this world now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right? And yeah. And I think that, number one, we have to be aware that motivation automatically is going to be a fickle thing. And that's whether it's in the physical life, the mental life, the spiritual life. Motivation can come and go. It can ebb and flow. And so we have to be careful to rely on it too much. However, what we can do is rely, what I always say is, reach out to someone who possibly has similar goals to you and use them as maybe an accountability partner. You know, have them help motivate you. The other thing is to view exercise as a self-mortification, right? If you sound like you're probably Catholic, probably take your faith pretty seriously. I would say that, you know, see this as an avenue towards an even deeper relationship with the church, with Christ, because it's going to deepen your ability to serve others. Now, when it comes to times like, you know, I mentioned on one of the breaks that my one downfall is always Oreos. If those are in the house, I will just devour the entire thing. So I have to take very serious measures to just keep those out of my house. And I've got six kids, so we're going to have some of the little sweets and treats around the house, but I just have to make sure they're not really ones that I want. That way, when those food demons do come, I don't attack the pantry and finish off the entire thing because I do have an appetite. Another little small tip to do for people who struggle with this, even post-dinner or all this, sometimes they will just all of a sudden have this crazy food hunger or crazy hunger. I would say first, before you go into the pantry, take a big glass of ice water and down the entire thing. A lot of times our bodies are actually dehydrated whenever it tells us we are hungry. So what it's actually seeking is water. It's seeking the good old HTO, and we fill it with sugar and with other things. So do that first. Take a big swig of cold ice water, and maybe if you have that friend that you can just text and say, hey, you know, I'm having a struggle right now. I really feel like I need to eat, and, you know, maybe you can just talk about it, right? It's a kind of an accountability thing. So those would be a few little tips for you to do that, and know that you're not alone. I mean, that's something that so many people struggle with, and it's something that we all need to kind of take head on.
Colette, how does that strike you?
Thank you very much. That sounds fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have, Jared, lots of folks who watch on YouTube, Facebook, and Periscope. This question comes from Henry watching on YouTube. For an 18-year-old male starting out, what regimen would you recommend, assuming there's no gym available?
Okay. Well, first off, I would recommend looking into a trainer named Mark Ripito. And it totally depends, number one, on the goals. I am very interested in more in strength training. And most 18-year-old boys want big biceps. That's just the reality. But there's a man named Mark Ripito, and he has a book called Starting Strength. And you can do his workout with almost no equipment, or at least just a squat rack. If you just have that, even, you know, if there's a local gym or any of that, or you can just use body squats, different things like that. But read his book, recommend his work to him. He's got a great YouTube channel that goes through all of the how-tos when it comes to that. Some of it gets pretty technical, so you know, maybe try to make sure you skim through those. But I always recommend a good squat, good deadlift, and a good bench press for anyone starting out, especially a young man. Those are just kind of the foundational moves when it comes to strength, when it comes to fitness, when even flexibility. You'd be surprised how much a good squat can help you with your flexibility. So I would recommend that highly.
And Henry, thanks for watching on YouTube. I hope that's helpful to you. Thanks to everybody who watches us on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Periscope. We're very grateful to have you there. Oh, and our next call comes from someone watching on YouTube. Christine in California watching on YouTube. Your question for Jared.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I'm a very active athlete, but I see a lot in the Bible about resting on Sunday and using that time for God and your family. And I guess my question is it okay to work out on Sunday, or does that hinder sort of the worship we owe to God, or sort of take away from the appropriate relaxation of mind and body that we should be giving to God on Sunday?
Yeah, good question. And, you know, I mean, first off, I would definitely say that if it's taking away from you going to Mass and fulfilling your obligation, then it's a problem. But in large part, once you get to a certain point, working out becomes a recreation. It becomes a de-stressor. It becomes a it takes away anxiety. For me, it even becomes a family thing. I've got three boys right now. They're in martial arts. And so the three boys and myself go up to the gym. I lift weights while they're up there doing boxing or Muay Thai. And it becomes a fun day. It becomes a nice recreational day. And so Sundays are saved for relaxation and God and recreation as well, right? Recreating ourselves. And so that's what exercise can do. Now, if you're doing it for the simple sense that that's the only time you can do it, I think that's great too. I think if you're busy all week and Sunday is the only day you have a couple of minutes or maybe an hour to put to devote, I think that's actually a great thing. Now, the only time it can become problematic is if you are taking away from family time, if you're doing it because maybe Sunday is your only day that you can spend time with your family and you're spending 2 hours at the gym working out by yourself in kind of a selfish way. I would say that is problematic. And if it's steering you away from what Sunday is ultimately geared to, which is communion with God, right? So the Mass is our ultimate way, our ultimate prayer of being able to enter into communion with God through the Eucharist, through liturgy, all of that. And so if it's steering away the mind from focusing in on that, then it can be problematic. So if you're sitting there in mass going, you know, I really think I'm going to be able to deadlift 400 today. I think I'm going to be able to get it. That could be problematic. I would say that, no, you need to kind of get that out of your mind and let that time be that time. But in mass and in your prayer time on Sunday, that needs to be the focus. And so I think it just kind of comes down to what's your focus. And but in general, just to work out on Sundays, I don't see a problem.
Christine?
Yeah.
Does that all make sense to you? That work? Okay.
Yeah, that was very helpful.
I have to tell you both, I have never once been in mass thinking, I'm probably going to deadlift 400 pounds today. That has never, ever, once, ever happened, and I'm thinking it might not. Christine, thanks very much for that call. Let's go to Norma in Santa Cruz, California, listening on 1200 AM. Norma, your question for Jared Zimmerer.
Oh, hello. I have a lot of questions, but the main one is I saw a documentary about how being eating a lot of protein, it was the best for you, and I really liked what they presented. And then recently I saw another documentary about how meat is horrible for you. And so I'm a little bit confused, because right now a lot of my protein does come from meat. And after seeing that documentary, I don't want to eat meat anymore, but then I have no idea how to change my diet.
Yeah, good point. And there actually are some professional bodybuilders who are vegans. And so they are able to get the amount of protein necessary through beans, legumes, different things like that, in order to fulfill those protein needs. One in particular I would recommend is Mike Mahler. He is a vegan powerlifter and does great stuff. He's got a really good science behind all of it. But as
you better say his name again. For some reason, your microphone went out just as you said his name. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Mike Mahler, M-A-H-L-E-R. He's not spiritual by any means. If you're looking just for kind of workout technicalities, he's great. But anyway, I would say that a lot of this is subjective, right? So even that documentary on the vegan diet, I've seen several of those, and they're phenomenal, and I do agree with a lot of them. But at the same time, you know, certain genetic makeups are actually good for meat. They need meat. And so it would just depend on the person. In large part, if you notice, say, after you have a steak, maybe some chicken, something like that, you start to feel a little bit queasy or your stomach hurts a little bit, maybe you might need to go to a vegan diet. And that would be something I would go to a physician for. But again, it is pretty subjective when it comes down to this stuff. I can guarantee you I would not make it on a vegan diet. I've tried it and it just didn't work. I need a good red steak. So look into it. And if you feel like you would like to make that change, I would highly recommend going to a physician and kind of having them maybe do some blood work and see if that would be a good place for you to do. But you can do it. You can be a bodybuilder, powerlifter, being a vegan. And so it's not going to stop you necessarily from achieving your goals.
Thank you, Norma. Thanks very much. We're going to go to Samantha in Dallas, Texas, watching online. And Samantha, if you can be quick with your question, we'll probably have time for Jared to answer it.
Hi. Yeah, my question involves bodybuilding competitions. I kind of want to know what his opinion is. Is it morally acceptable in regards towards vanity and modesty, especially when it comes to women? I would just love to know what he thinks about that.
Yeah. And that's a great question. You know, it's interesting because, unfortunately, a lot of the bodybuilding competitions have become overly sexualized. It's become much more of kind of a circus show, unfortunately, as opposed to what it used to be, which really was just a contest of displaying what you've been able to achieve. And I think if that's the ultimate goal for the individual, I don't think it's problematic. I think that what you're showing is, here's something beautiful that's created by God, and we're able to achieve this thing. Now, I would say that if we're achieving it through unhealthy means, however, whatever that might mean, there's, you know, drugs or extreme diets or some of these other things where people are starving themselves to get up to that point, that's problematic. I would say that that turns into a moral gray area, at least, if not a problem. But I would say that there can be bodybuilding competitions that are morally acceptable. It just depends on the organization that's running it and what the purpose of the show is. So I've been to numerous shows, and some of them just completely over-sexualize everyone. It becomes kind of this circus freak thing. But then I've also been to other ones where it's an amazing, amazing opportunity to just see what discipline and self-control and pushing through can achieve.
Samantha, sorry, Jared.
Go ahead.
We're at the end. We got to go. Samantha, thanks for that call. Jared Zimmerer, our guest. You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on Instagram, you said.
Yep.
All right. See you right. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.